overnight low 22. And tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny and breezy. Tomorrow's high 28. Full cloud cover now. Wind from the southwest at 7. 24 degrees in both Racine and Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:10. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is up next.
It's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock here on WGTD. And before we get to today's morning show, I want to remind you of Wisconsin Public Radio's year-end membership drive. It is important that you understand that WGTD is part of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our well-being depends on their well-being. And if you appreciate what you hear over WGTD, then it's very important that you convey and communicate that appreciation in the form of a financial pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio in whatever amount you can afford. You can do so either by going to their website, wpr.org, or by taking a few moments to call them toll-free at the phone number 1-888-202-2552. Again, 1-888-202-2552. And when you do so, please let them know that you are a listener to WGTD and The Morning Show, and we do thank you for your support. And now we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. Today's Morning Show interview was recorded yesterday. And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. This conversation is a long time coming. That is, I have for a long time wanted to have a conversation with somebody from a group called HALO. HALO stands for Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization, and this is the primary homeless shelter in the city of Racine. And they have been doing good work for quite a long time now, and of course, the need for reaching out to the homeless is as acute a problem as it ever was. And of course, especially in these winter months, it's especially important that we try to figure out ways to keep people safe and warm. We have with us in our studios Gay Lorenzen, who is the executive director of HALO. She became executive director early last year. And also with us is the Reverend Holly Anderley, who is on the board of directors. And I have known Holly quite a long time because her son Mike is one of my all-time favorite and best voice students at Carthage. And I actually was a voice student of mine all his years through high school as well. So I've known Pastor Anderley for a long, long time, and certainly appreciate the passion with which she approaches the issue of homelessness. Gay Lorenzen, Holly Anderley, we welcome both of you to the Morning Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So it would be great to have a history lesson from somebody, and it maybe should be you, Holly, since I think you've actually been in the mix with HALO for even longer than Gay Lorenzen, or no? No, I'm wrong about that. All right, then Gay Lorenzen, let's get the history lesson from you.
All right, well, HALO was formed in 2005. It was an effort by the entire community to look at the shelters and what was going on in the community at the time. They were using the REST program, which meant individuals went from church to church, and they would spend the night there, and then it would move on to another church.
Right, a different church each night of the week.
Exactly. And so in 2005, HALO was formed. A shelter was, or an old warehouse was renovated into a shelter. We have a men's shelter on one side and a women and family shelter on the other side of the building. Both sides have dining areas, sleeping rooms, and some common areas. So we've been around for 13 years, over 13.
So HALO was created, in a sense, to replace the REST program?
It replaced the REST program, and it also replaced the Homeward Bound program. They consolidated those programs.
Right. Was there a sense of why it made sense to do that? What was thought to be the most important benefit of consolidating?
There were a couple reasons. One of them was to provide a system where people would have a case manager that would follow them along and connect them with resources in the community. When you had the REST program, they would come for the evening and spend the night and have a meal, and they'd leave the next day, and we'd often lose track of them until they showed up at another church or location. And Homeward Bound, they just felt if they moved everything to one location, it would just be more cost efficient and economic. And again, as I said, the whole case management piece of it.
Right. What can you tell us about this structure in which HALO is housed, this warehouse? It's on DeCoven Avenue, right?
Well, it is on DeCoven Avenue. It is right next door to the Racine County Workforce Development Center, the Cornwolf Center at 1717 Taylor. I think that choice of having those buildings next door together was purposeful so that individuals would have access to employment opportunities and other resources. But the building itself, it does have a little wear and tear on it now that it's 13 years old. We're needing to make some renovations. The flooring is not in real good shape. We like people to come in and do something called adopt a room so they can paint the rooms and kind of redecorate for people. As I said before, we have two dining areas and two kitchens. They're both commercial kitchens. We have a very nice TV room on the men's side of the shelter that was decorated by one of the local churches. If you go in there, it's kind of like a theater.
Wow. Very good. So how is it physically laid out in terms of how many rooms are there and how many people are in rooms and that kind of thing?
All right. There are 60 beds on each side. There are individual sleeping rooms where 4 to 8 people will share a room. It's kind of crowded. There are bunk beds. While it's crowded, I think it's fairly comfortable for individuals. And then we sometimes use the dining room space with mats. They're about 6 to 8 inch mats if we have overflow space. We try to assign everyone to a room when we reach capacity of 120, and then we will need to take individuals in. Over that number, they will end up on the dining room floor.
But
not on mats,
right,
and not outside.
Right, where it's nice and warm.
And I think that's a really important thing to focus on, too, is that we will not willingly see anybody stay outside in the cold weather months. If we have to go over capacity, we will go over capacity in order to make sure that everybody is safe from the cold.
So you do whatever it takes to make that possible.
Yes.
So how is it that people find their way into HALO? I mean, someone who is homeless, do they just show up on the doorstep and knock? I mean, is it as simple as that?
Well, there are a couple of different ways that people will end up over at HALO. In some cases, they do just walk in, and we do what we call an intake assessment on them, assign them to a case manager, and assign them hopefully to a room, but if we're in one of those overflow capacities, assign them to a mat, and then start to link them up with different resources and services. However, one of the great things about what's going on in our community right now is that we've got a great collegial relationship between HALO and the HOPES Center, which is an outreach of the Dominican Sisters. And Hope Center has a street outreach team. And so the executive director, Scott Metzel, along with the street outreach team, will go out and they'll actually do some looking around in various locations that it's pretty well known that some of the homeless folks will congregate. They check for parked cars. They have a lot of blankets in them. And what happens when they find somebody that's sleeping in one of these locations is they'll make contact with them and ask them if they'd like to come into shelter. Then they will bring them over to Halo, and they can bring them in any time of the day or of the night, although they mostly work during the night times. So that's another way. One of the third ways is that the police department can get involved. And we're lucky to have some very compassionate police officers in our community. And so if they find somebody that they suspect is sleeping outdoors, they'll work with them a little bit and try to convince them to come into shelter. And then the police department will also bring them over. Sometimes we get referrals from family members who say, listen, you know, we really need to find Joe or Susie a place to stay. They'll call and say, do you have room to take them? And then we can work with them, too.
Wow.
I think one of the hardest things is when we're trying to find room for an entire intact family, and that happens more than you'd think.
Wow. And yeah, I suppose just the way you're laid out, that's a little tricky then?
Mm-hmm.
Very tricky. If we sometimes try to combine families, like if we have a mother and two young children and another mother and two young children, we may have to combine them into one room to make more space. But we've also had some very large families this year, mother, father, and children of eight at one point in time.
Wow.
So we can accommodate them, but it does take some logistics.
Right, right. So in other words, you don't just sit there and wait for people to come to you, but there is also a concerted effort underway to try to find people who need you, who don't even realize that they need you or don't realize that you are there with something to offer them.
Exactly.
Wow. It's really intriguing to hear about this matter of caseworkers. And, of course, that is a dramatic difference between this and, for instance, the REST program that my church was one of the participating churches, but there, as far as I know, at least I'm pretty certain there was not that kind of framework in place in terms of people being worked with to that extent. So explain who these caseworkers are and the scope of what they do.
We have seven case managers right now. We have them divided up between the men's and the women and family side of the shelter. We have two who will meet with individuals within 48 hours of coming into shelter and assess some immediate needs for them. That assessment would include, well, when they first come into shelter, our intake workers would do an assessment as far as, you know, do you need anything to eat? Do you need any clothing? Are you feeling okay? Do you have any health issues? And then they would assign them either to a room or to the dining room floor on a mat, depending on the situation. And then within 48 hours, they would meet with one of the other case managers and do a more in-depth history to find out what their needs are, what their concerns are, what might be appropriate referrals. And these appropriate referral might be to connect them with workforce development next door or another one of our partner agencies such as Racine Vocational Ministry. Gateway Technical College may also be a resource. Somebody may need to get their GED or be at a point where they would like to get an associate degree. We make sure that anyone who has minor school-age children, that those children are in school. We often coordinate with what is called a homeless liaison, primarily with Racine Unified School District, but all school districts do have that liaison. We want to make sure that a child's education is not interrupted. And we also make an effort to connect families with children that aren't school-age with resources such as Head Start. Those are just a few of the things we might do. We also have student nurses who come in Right now we have a group that's just finishing up from UW-Milwaukee, and they will talk with the clients and try to do some healthcare assessments to determine what their needs are. I could go through with a lot of different agencies, Holly.
It's an impressive
list. We had one really great success story. We had a gentleman come in that was a veteran, and he was down on his luck, but he was losing his eyesight, and he was just unable to find a place to stay, unable to hold a job, and so he came to us. Well, our case managers discovered that he was a veteran and started making a few phone calls. He was not aware of anything that he was entitled to or eligible for.
Oh, wow.
They were able to link him up with the proper medical care. He was able to have some work done on his eyes. They linked him up with the veterans housing in Union Grove. He was able to transfer out there. And one of our wonderful things is that one of our volunteers went out to visit him, and he was all excited because he had looked over at a vending machine and could see that there was a nickel lying on the floor next to the vending machine. And he said, I would not have been able to see that a few months ago.
Wow.
So he's happy and well and doing great. And if he hadn't come to HALO, he probably wouldn't be.
Amazing. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about HALO, Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization in Racine. With us is Gail Lorenzen, who is Executive Director, and Holly Anderle, who is on the Board of Directors. I noticed on your website that when you talk about the purposes of HALO, right at the top is trying to help the homeless regain self-sufficiency and home stability. And that is impressive. I mean, that is, on the one hand, what you are obviously really concerned with and what we've mostly talked about are the immediate needs of somebody who are homeless to get them out of the cold and into a place where they can be safe and warm. But your concerns go beyond that, beyond the immediate need. So talk about the ways in which HALO works towards these really laudatory goals of helping the homeless achieve self-sufficiency and home stability. So in a sense, they don't need HALO anymore.
And we, although we become very fond of many people are there, we don't want to see them come back.
Right.
We want them to be successful.
Of course.
So as I said, they do have case managers, and we have many linkages. We work on making sure that people have all the resources they need to get a job, increase their income, stay in those jobs. We also work with the community, including local landlords, to help them find housing. And that's maybe one of our biggest challenges sometimes, because there is a shortage in Racine of affordable, habitable housing. And so the demand on those units is a little difficult, let's just say that, sometimes to get people into housing. But we do have many very good landlords in the community that want to work with us. We're always looking for more landlords who might want to work with us.
And in what way do you want to work with them? I mean, exactly what is that relationship or connection with the landlords?
We'd like them to make units available to us to place individuals in, and then we will continue to provide case management up to 6 months if the family or the individual still wants to have that case management. We frequently have individuals, even though they say they don't want the 6 months of the case management, they frequently do come to HALO and they talk to the case manager and sometimes ask for advice or referrals to other places. So I think once they're there, they build that relationship and they know that it's even beyond the 6 months that they can come back and we can be a resource to them. We're there to help them.
I think one of the challenges in the community right now is that if someone who's experiencing homelessness has an eviction on their record, it's very hard to place them in an apartment. And that's one of the things I think we're looking at right now is trying to see if we can get some of the landlords to be willing to take a chance, to take a risk on our folks, knowing that they do have that support behind them of trying to help them make the right decisions, the right choices, learning to budget and things like that.
Right, and you're saying HALO is that support,
yes.
that extra layer of support that can make a difference and might encourage a landlord to take that chance. And I think you're also saying that there are some landlords already there. I mean, that there just aren't enough of them.
That's correct. We do have, like I said, some great landlords that work very well with us and our clients.
And you were saying that part of the problem here is that there is not enough housing in Racine. And I think what you're really saying is there's not enough affordable housing. There's not enough of at a level of rent or whatever that would be within reach for some of these people who find themselves in this situation.
And adequate quality. Because in order for us to place somebody that will get that economic assistance, it has to pass certain requirements that are put in place by HUD. And so it's a little bit of a challenge. You know, you just have to have, if you have a family, a certain number of bedrooms, depending on if you have male children, female children.
Wow. So what is the mechanism by which you are, for instance, reaching out to landlords? I mean, are there organizations of landlords or is that just kind of a knocking on doors kind of thing?
It's kind of a multifaceted approach. There is a landlords association in Racine, and we do have connections with them and a number of those landlords. But a lot of it is just going out and talking to landlords individually and just explaining what we do. Now, so as Holly indicated, we do have some subsidized programs where there's rent assistance that we can provide. But it's not just those programs that we need housing for individuals. There are many individuals who leave our program and will be able to sustain a unit on their own. But also, as Holly said, because they have an eviction on their record, not everybody wants to take a chance on them. And after being at HALO, many of those circumstances that might have existed when this eviction took place, and often these evictions are a number of years ago, no longer exist. So it's really working with this landlord and really showing this landlord the skills this individual has now and that take a chance on them.
Absolutely.
Which is another good thing that I think we should bring up about HALO. There sometimes exists a thought that the people that end up in shelters are all folks that have addictions, drugs, alcohol, folks that are lazy, that don't want to work. But it's really surprising the number of ways that you can end up experiencing homelessness. We like to say that pretty much any one of us is only one tragedy away from experiencing homelessness. A house can burn down, and you maybe don't have the resources or the finances to be able to move into someplace else. You can lose your job. You can have a medical situation where you drain through all of your income. Divorce, family dysfunction, certainly mental health issues play a huge role. And we have a real shortage of mental health professionals, not just in our community, but throughout the country as a whole right now.
Absolutely, and that is a very acute situation. I'm glad you spelled that out because I think you're right. That is an assumption, a mistaken assumption that people make. Let's spend just a moment, however, in a sense, speaking to that assumption and just talk for a moment about what I'm sure is one of the most vexing challenges of what you do, and that is when you are trying to reach out to people who are homeless who are also carrying with them issues like addiction or mental illness and so on. What is HALO equipped to do when it comes to somebody like that? Are you able to take individuals like that in, and how do you do that? What kind of special challenge does that represent for HALO?
We are able to take those individuals at HALO, and we welcome them at HALO. It is challenging. We have a couple of staff who are AODA, which is alcohol and other drug addiction certified, to work with those individuals. But otherwise, we have case managers and individuals there who don't have a lot of special training in that area. So it's really being compassionate, being understanding, building trust. Building trust is probably the biggest factor when we're dealing with somebody with an addiction or a mental health issue. But we just continue to work with people and continue to let them know that they're valued and continue to offer them opportunities. It's often people are in denial for a very long time, and it just means that we have to just keep working with that individual. We've had a number of success stories where individuals have a long history of alcoholism, for example, and they may have been at HALO for 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden one day they walk into the case manager and say, "Where's that program that you said you could send me to, that inpatient one?" And they go to that program, and they're released, and they are doing really, really well yet today. So I've seen several of those situations since I've been there, since March of 2017.
It's important to let folks know that we do not give up on our people. There used to be a policy where if you were not sober at that point in time, that you could not enter HALO. That is no longer true. If you have been using, if you have been drinking, we do still welcome people in. They are not allowed to use or to drink on the premises, but they can come in a state of intoxication, and we will still take them in and work with them. And if right up until that point in time when they're ready to get sober, we'll continue to encourage them and to try to bring them to that point.
Wow. Yeah, that tests the limits of love, doesn't it? And
love in action.
Yeah, and what love really is. Are such individuals sequestered in any way? Or are they just kind of brought in with the whole rest of the population?
They are just part of the population. They blend in. We have talked about having separate areas called a sober area for individuals who are trying to maintain sobriety.
Right.
With the building we have, logistically, it's been a little bit difficult for us. We're still exploring some ideas there. But from that perspective, we're really focusing then on people maintaining sobriety. And who might want to be away from the rest of the population rather than segregating individuals who have an addiction.
That makes sense. Holly, before we went on the air, you said something about when I asked you what you were most anxious to say in this interview or to have listeners take away. And I think part of it kind of revolves around this issue we're talking about right now, in that you don't want people to have the wrong idea about what HALO is. And one of the things I remember you saying is that HALO is not a flop house. Explain what you mean by that, and why you think it's important for people to know that.
There is oftentimes a misperception that because we do take the folks that have severe addictions to drugs, alcohol, and then we do take folks that have mental health issues, who may at the moment not be emotionally or mentally capable of moving to the next level. Sometimes people feel like it's just what they used to call a hot in a cot. We don't do anything. They just come in, they flop on the floor, they get up the next day and go off to do their thing and come back. And while that may be the case for a limited number of individuals, and you'd be surprised, it really is not the majority of our population there. We work with them to get them to that next step. We work with all of the folks that come through our door so that they can become self-sufficient, so that they can raise their self-esteem, their sense of self-worth, so that they will eventually be able to move on through our doors, through our programs, and into their own home, whether that means renting, maybe someday owning. But we just don't want folks to look down on our people at HALO.
Right. Well, and it's not just a bunch of beds.
Exactly.
It's not just a roof and a bed.
It is
within the framework of a concerted effort to help people along the path to a better place for them in every sense of the word.
And this might be a good time to bring up, we've got an event coming up on December 15th called A Day at HALO. And we're inviting the community to come to HALO and have a tour of the place to talk to some of our staff, some of our board, some of our residents, and kind of see what HALO is all about and maybe even find some volunteer opportunities while they're there.
There you go. So, and what hours on the 15th?
That is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will also be serving soup and I think sandwiches. So we'd love it if the community would come and have a meal with us and take a tour.
So that's Saturday, the 15th of December. You have another event coming up in January, and this is not unique to HALO, but something on kind of a national scale, December. Something called Point in Time?
Yes, the Point in Time count will happen on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and it will consist of a number of different teams going out to various locations, but our goal is that at least every area of the community will have a team going through. My team, for example, is assigned to from the Walmart out to the Union Grove area to just double check so that we can see who's sleeping out there. It's not so much that we just count, but it's we try to find out, why are you out here? What's going on? How did you get here? Where did you spend last night? Have you been homeless before? Mm. And most importantly, are you willing to come to shelter? Mm. And then we've got the radio or the cell phone and able to call back to HALO. And we'll have a van that if someone wants to come into shelter, they'll be able to go and pick them up and bring them in.
And Point in Time isn't just limited to HALO. Mm-hmm. It's a group effort of organizations in the community that call themselves the Continuum of Care that provide services to the homeless. So we're talking about Hope Center, Hospitality Center, HALO, Racine Vocational Ministry, Women's Resource Center, Safe Haven. I'll forget somebody here. Center for Veterans Issues. But it's a large group of individuals and organizations.
I remember, Holly, when we were talking about this ahead of going on the air, you called it a snapshot.
Yes.
It's a way to get, it's not a comprehensive census. It's just a snapshot of tonight, this is who is homeless.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is important. I hadn't thought to ask this question till you said the phrase about whether or not people want to go into shelter. And that prompts me to ask, how often do people not want to go into shelter? And typically, why not? Why would someone who does not have shelter not want shelter?
Well, there are a few reasons, and it happens a little bit more often than you would imagine or that we would like to see. One of the reasons that someone may not want to go into shelter may be that they have a severe mental health condition that prevents them from being able to be around a lot of people. Hmm. We talk about folks that are paranoid, that feel as if they come into a shelter that something will happen. There are people that just can't handle the noise. They can't be in a room with that many other people. Some of our folks find that they can't be enclosed, even just inside of a building. Mm. Then there are the folks that whose addictions are such that they can't be without their substance of choice for that long. Because the shelters, none of the shelters, Women's Resource Center and the various places, allow use of those addictive substances on the property. If you can't go 7-6 hours without drinking or using a drug, then you're probably not going to go into shelter, because you need to be for yourself in a place where you can use. And we hope that eventually they'll get to the point where it's so cold or so uncomfortable that they're willing to at least come in out of the cold, even if it's just for one night to warm up.
Right.
And there are trust issues. Some people just have problems trusting.
Of course. Yeah, and depending on what they have been through or the way in which they have been burned, figuratively, maybe literally even sometimes. But, that's very difficult. Very difficult. I this seems like a really mundane question, but I just want to ask, so is there a particular bedtime at Halo? I mean, do people all go to sleep at the same time? I mean, I should think that's kind of a tricky matter, too.
We do have a bedtime. Lights out, we call it. It's 10 o'clock for men on the men's side. It's 10 p.m. for the women and men on the family side without minor children, which would be families. And then the families, the bedtime is, well, in your room, lights out, is 8 o'clock for the children. Obviously, the adults could stay up longer, but they do need to be with their children.
It's interesting because the main reason I ask is not so much, you know, what time do people go to sleep, but it makes me think about how it must be really tricky to want to reach out to people and give them a safe place to sleep and yet not do so in a way that's kind of condescending or unintentionally demeaning or whatever. There are a lot of ways in which this needs to be done, if possible, with as much sensitivity as possible. And yet, when you have all these different people with different ways of living and so on, I imagine that cannot be very simple.
It's not real simple. We do have to have rules so we don't have chaos. But we really try to focus the rules now on whether or not it's a health, improves the health or safety of the people there. We try not to be real restrictive, and give people as much latitude as possible.
And recognizing the dignity of the individual, regardless of their circumstances, we try to treat everybody with respect the way that we would want to be treated.
We're talking about HALO, the Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization in Racine. We're talking about it with Gay Lorenzen, the executive director, and Holly Anderley, who is on the board of directors. So who pays the bills? Where does the money come from to make HALO possible in all that you offer?
The bills get paid in several ways. We do have government grants. Probably a third of our budget right now is government grants. And we receive the vast majority of our support from the community, private donors. And then I would say foundations. Private foundations, and Racine County, United Way all contribute to HALO. Corporations contribute to HALO. SC Johnson is a contributor and helps us to survive, as well as other corporations in the community and a few corporations that aren't in Racine.
Very good. I know that you have some fundraising events that occur kind of peppered through the calendar. What are the most important ones?
Well, right now I would say the one coming up next, which would be a bowling event on February the 10th at Castle Lanes. And if you would like to join us, we'd love to have anybody in the community join us.
Strike out homelessness.
I like right, that. Right. Raffles, little prizes throughout the day. Just go to our website.
Very good. What are some other ways in which people can help HALO? What are some things that you need from, I don't mean corporate CEOs, but more ordinary people of the community, so to speak?
One of the big things that we need right now are coats and hats and gloves for adults, adult men, adult women, and for children, although we recently had a donor that provided coats for all of the kids that were in shelter with us.
Wow.
Yep.
So we need boots because the folks leave HALO during the day and often go to, some go to work, some go to seek services, to job interviews or to training or to schools. And so we need, you know, some boots and things like that. One of the important things to remember, though, is that from a financial standpoint, no financial gift is too small. We want the community to understand that HALO does belong to the community, and our community is only as strong as the most vulnerable member of our community. And so if we would all pitch in a little bit here and there, just a little bit of money, an extra $20, $30, $40, we have come to a determination that it costs about $45 to provide shelter for one person per night. So if everybody in the community would give just $45, we could keep going with no problems at all. And we need volunteers. We need people to be willing to cook and serve meals. We need people to be willing to come in and paint rooms. We need folks that are willing to come in and reorganize the storage areas. One thing we're really not able to do is to accept an awful lot of used clothing. We just don't have the storage ability to do that. We tend to send our folks down to the St. Michael's clothing distribution that happens out of the hospitality center because we just don't have the room. We want to dedicate the room to the people that need a place to sleep,
right?
Not to storing a whole lot of used clothes.
Absolutely. Are you close to capacity at the moment?
We are close to capacity right now. Most of last winter, we were over capacity.
You had people on mats.
We had people on mats. I would say every night for probably at least a six-month period.
Wow.
So far this year, our census has been a little bit down. It's been running between 100 and 120, which 120 would be the capacity. I didn't get the numbers before I came in today, but we were running at about 112 pretty consistently the last couple of weeks.
Is it kind of when you are at over capacity, is it just a first come, first serve situation?
At the current time, what we're looking at is individuals who we call literally homeless. So people who are on the street would actually be given first access to the shelter if we are at capacity. Then we start looking at other forms of homelessness. We try to encourage people to stay where they are, even for a couple extra nights. If they're staying with a friend and they have to leave, the friend can't have them anymore. We do try to get them to stay a couple more days till maybe we have a little more room.
I see. So some people are without a home and without an alternative of any kind.
Correct.
But then there are other people where there is a friend or a family member. Correct. They can crash on their sofa for a little bit. Not ideal, but that would make some difference in who you are able to accommodate.
It would. Whenever we can use diversion, we like to use diversion, as we call it. So.
Right. Right. And we should probably underscore also that HALO is always open. I mean, yes. This is through the winter, through the summer, through all four seasons of the year, but obviously, when we are experiencing the cold of winter,
they should come to HALO, and we will do our best to help them.
Very good. Holly Anderle, I know that you want to make sure people know about something really special that is coming up on Friday night, December 21st. Tell our listeners about The Longest Night.
December 21st is the longest night of the year in the calendar. And so it's become a tradition to celebrate the longest night by thinking about people that might be not quite so jolly and merry at Christmas time. And certainly folks that are experiencing homelessness, for them particularly, it could be the longest night of the year. So what we do is on that day, we'll gather together at HALO at 6 o'clock. It's a Friday night, so you can come and then be honoring those folks that have passed away while they were in a state of homelessness or who had been homeless and perhaps passed shortly after coming out of homelessness. It's an event that we do in conjunction with Father Seth Raymond, who is the executive director of the Hospitality Center, and also with Scott Metzel, who's the executive director of the Hope Center. And myself and those two gentlemen, we will be doing a worship service of some more of the quiet Christmas carols, offering up some prayers. But one of the most special times is when we invite our folks, either in memory of or provided at this time of the year, lighting a candle against the darkness in order to light the way home to folks experiencing homelessness. And so it will be at HALO at 6 o'clock on Friday, December 21st, and we do invite members of the community to come and to honor those folks along with us.
So Friday, December 21st, and people come to HALO for this event this year.
Correct.
Very good. So what is the best way for people to contact HALO?
They can call HALO. 262-633-3235. You also can go to our Facebook page and message us. We will respond to those messages. And you can come there in person, which is 2000 De Coven Avenue.
Right. And you have a website, which I think is HALO Inc., right?
It is haloinc.org, correct.
Right, right.
And there is a form you can fill out there also to contact us.
Oh, so. Very good. Well, I'm really glad that this long overdue conversation has finally happened and that we can help spread the word about all of the good work being done by HALO, the Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization. I appreciate all the clarity that you've provided in terms of what HALO is all about and how it stands ready to help all the people in our community who are, for one reason or another, homeless. Gay Lorenzen is Executive Director of HALO, Holly Anderle on the Board of Directors. Thank you to both of you and everybody at HALO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the morning show, it will be Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, paying his monthly visit to the program, talking about civic engagement. On Friday, the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, we will be going into the archives and replaying several different interviews related to that very, very important moment in American history. We want to remind you that The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock, and The Morning Show is archived on our website, wgtd.org. And the archive stretches back several years, so there are all kinds of past Morning Show interviews that you can find in the archive. Support for The Morning Show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in four easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfer is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. And we remind you that Wisconsin Public Radio's year-end membership drive is currently underway, and WGTD is part of Wisconsin Public Radio. So if you appreciate what you hear over the airwaves of WGTD, please consider a financial pledge. Go to WPR.org or call 1-888-2